provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis, based on the most relevant posts on LinkedIn about Sovereign Cloud. Frenis is a B2B market research company working with enterprises to optimize their campaigns with account and executive insights far beyond AI. Okay, so let's unpack this. In this deep dive, we're cutting through the noise, really distilling the most important discussions and, you know, the top trends shaping the sovereign cloud space. This is all based on those vibrant conversations happening right now on LinkedIn. Our mission today is pretty simple: to give you a shortcut to being truly well-informed on this incredibly critical and, frankly, fast-evolving area.
Yeah, and what's truly fascinating here, something Thomas Allgaier and others often point out, is how quickly the very definition of sovereignty in the cloud is changing. It's become this really complex balancing act, hasn't it, between control, innovation, and compliance. Mm. So today, we're going to dive into those recent dynamics that providers, policymakers, and enterprises all grappling with right now. We want to explore the strategic why behind these shifts, you know, not just the what.
That's the perfect way to frame it, because looking at the insights from LinkedIn over the past few weeks, you really see this picture emerging. Intensified investment, some really key strategic partnerships, and growing scrutiny across the whole sovereign cloud landscape. It's clearly not just some niche concept anymore, is it? So let's dive into what that actually looks like on the ground, maybe starting with the foundation, the regulatory landscape.
Definitely. The public debate around sovereign cloud has really heated up, particularly concerning the Cloud Act and its impact on EU sovereignty. Now, for anyone maybe not up to speed, the Cloud Act is a US law, right? It can basically compel American tech companies to hand over data. Data stored anywhere in the world, doesn't matter about local laws.
Yeah.
So naturally, that creates significant tension, doesn't it, with European data protection efforts with the whole idea of digital autonomy.
Yeah, I can absolutely see why that'd be a flashpoint.
Exactly. So as a result, there's this critical urgent need for much stricter, clearer sovereign cloud definitions. It's not just theory, this, you know, legal uncertainty. It's driving tangible changes in how businesses and governments have to operate.
Right. And you're seeing organizations are actively reconfiguring their entire cloud operations now.
Right.
It's not just to comply with local regs, but specifically to shield themselves, you know, protect against that foreign jurisdictional access. It feels like a fundamental shift away from just a reactive kind of check the box thing. It's more proactive, strategic, making sure data stays under the jurisdiction they actually want. Mm-hmm. It's about more than just where the data sits. It's about who really controls it and under what legal rules.
And this push for more control, it isn't happening in like a vacuum. It's directly influenced, actually accelerated by key European regulations. Think NIS2, the EU AI Act, and DORA.
Just quickly, NIS2 is about boosting cybersecurity across the EU. The EU AI Act, well, that's the world's first big legal framework for AI, mm-hmm. focusing on safety, fundamental rights.
And DORA, the Digital Operational Resilience Act, that's specifically for the financial sector, making sure they're digitally resilient. So these aren't just, you know, legal hurdles or compliance burdens anymore. They are fundamental drivers shaping sovereign cloud design, shaping procurement strategies at a really deep level. Sovereignty is becoming non-negotiable for a lot of organizations.
So these rules aren't just mandating compliance, they're kind of dictating the architecture for future cloud stuff. What's truly a significant shift, though, and something, again, Thomas Allgaier often highlights, is how sovereignty is seen now. It's increasingly viewed not just as that compliance burden, but as a genuine, actual business enabler. We're seeing this especially in those highly regulated sectors, right? Like finance, insurance.
Exactly.
For them, the strategic edge of having absolute control, unwavering trust in their digital operations, especially with sensitive customer data, that becomes a competitive differentiator, not just an overhead cost. That's quite a powerful shift in perspective, moving from burden to enabler.
It really is. It shows the market's understanding of digital risk and opportunity is, well, maturing.
Okay, so with all this regulatory tightening and strategic thinking, it makes you wonder, what about the actual money? What concrete financial commitments are we seeing to build out this more secure infrastructure? So what does this all mean for the underlying infrastructure itself? It feels like serious investment is pouring in now.
Oh, there certainly is. It's definitely not just talk. Take Oracle, for instance. They've committed multi-billion euro investments in both Frankfurt and Amsterdam. And these aren't just general cloud expansions, you know. They are specifically targeted, expanding AI-ready sovereign cloud capacity. It's a direct response to the unique needs of regulated European markets, acknowledging those distinct requirements for data control, residency, operational autonomy, especially as AI gets bigger.
Interesting. So they're positioning themselves for that high-end, high-security market.
Precisely. Precisely. It's a very strategic move for those with the absolute strictest data sovereignty needs.
And it's not just the big global players making these moves, is it? We're also seeing European leaders like SAP channeling significant funds into locally hosted AI and sovereign cloud environments. This really points to a broader kind of continental effort, doesn't it, to strengthen control over digital assets right here, closer to home. It's about building capabilities within European borders, fostering local innovation, local security.
Exactly right. And if you connect this to the bigger picture, EU-backed initiatives like IPCEI, that's the Important Projects of Common European Interest, they're actively driving these large-scale coordinated investments into digital infrastructure. The explicit goal here, reduce dependency on non-European tech, especially US tech, foster genuine European digital autonomy. It's a real concerted effort to build self-sufficiency in critical tech areas, you know, from chips right through to cloud services.
That makes perfect sense. It's not just business, it's strategic, it's geopolitical. And you see public sector players, telecom stakeholders, strongly emphasizing infrastructure as absolutely essential. Essential for economic resilience and national security. It's a very broad recognition of its importance, way beyond just the IT department.
Which really raises an important question, doesn't it, about building true self-sufficiency in the digital realm.
Yeah.
How much is achievable? What are the trade-offs involved?
A key question indeed.
Now, if we connect this to the broader market, we see some really fascinating trends among the major players. Even the global hyperscalers, AWS, Microsoft, Google, they're significantly expanding their sovereign cloud offerings too. But, and this is the tricky part, this is happening while existing legal frameworks, particularly that Cloud Act we mentioned, they continue to challenge the very idea of true sovereignty that these companies can offer.
Right.
So it creates this really interesting tension. The market demands sovereignty, but the legal reality, it's often more ambiguous. It forces the hyperscalers to innovate, but within some pretty tight constraints.
It definitely sounds like a complex dance between that global reach they have and the local control that's demanded.
Yeah.
Lots of legal, operational nuances that are, well, far from settled. So on the other side of that, European enterprises, they're not just waiting around, are they? They're actively moving towards what people are calling interoperable sovereignty models.
Yeah.
These sound quite clever. They aim to combine the strict compliance needs with operational agility, letting businesses use cloud innovation without giving up that fundamental data control. Can you maybe sketch out what that looks like?
Sure, yeah. An interoperable sovereignty model often translates to a hybrid or maybe a multi-cloud setup. So imagine a European bank. They might keep their most sensitive customer data, their core banking apps, inside a certified sovereign cloud. That ensures complete data residency, operational control by EU folks. But maybe less sensitive stuff, transient workloads, perhaps testing, general analytics, might still run on a hyperscaler's public cloud.
Okay, I see.
The interoperable bit comes from designing their systems to allow, you know, controlled data flow and management across these different environments, making sure compliance is met where it's absolutely critical, but still getting benefits from hyperscaler scale and innovation elsewhere. But yeah, the Cloud Act implications, the different operational models of the hyperscalers, they remain key factors. They shape market perception and definitely shape procurement decisions for European businesses. It's a pragmatic approach to a complex problem.
That helps clarify it perfectly, thanks. So moving beyond the theory, what's really tangible here? What new products, new services are actually emerging in this space, showing how these concepts are being put into practice?
Well, a major announcement, a very concrete step, is AWS's planned European Sovereign Cloud. It's slated for 2025. What's really significant about this one is the explicit commitment to EU data residency. Data stays physically in the EU, but maybe even more critically, it guarantees operational control by EU citizens. This directly tackles those core worries about foreign access and control over operations. It goes beyond just where the servers are.
Yeah, that's a big step. And on a slightly different tack, but still vital for digital autonomy, the DNS4EU, that recently launched, right? This initiative sounds like it's designed specifically to, well, regain control over domain name traffic, mostly from US providers. By localizing DNS resolution, the idea is to boost European cybersecurity overall, reduce dependencies. It feels like a very practical move towards a more digital self-determination right at a foundational internet level.
It is. And then there's another interesting example. Baden-Württemberg in Germany, introducing the KI platform, #F13. This is an open source AI platform built specifically for public administration. It highlights this push for transparency, for security, for control, and government AI uses, making sure the algorithms, the data processing for public services are managed in a trusted, auditable environment. It's like wanting sovereign AI, not just sovereign data.
Beyond these specific things, we're also seeing a broader trend, aren't we? Highly sector-specific sovereign cloud products emerging. These aren't one-size-fits-all. They're tailored to meet those unique, really stringent compliance needs in industries like government, healthcare, places where data sensitivity and regulatory oversight are, you know, extremely high.
Absolutely. These are very concrete steps towards digital autonomy. It proves the market is responding with quite specific solutions. And these developments really show the concepts moving from just an idea to actual execution.
Yeah, feels like real momentum.
And this whole movement towards sovereign cloud, it isn't happening in silos, right? Partnerships are a really crucial part of the story. It highlights a collaborative effort to build robust sovereign solutions that can actually meet this complex demand.
Exactly. Like Snowflake, for instance, they have strategically partnered with AWS European Sovereign Cloud. The goal, deliver compliant data analytics specifically for European customers. It's about bringing those powerful data tools, those analytical capabilities, to where the data legally and operationally has to be, ensuring compliance without, you know, sacrificing performance.
And we're seeing other really significant alliances that just reinforce this trend. Think Deloitte partnering with Stackit or Nextcloud collaborating with Oracle. These kinds of strategic alliances, they really underscore the growing demand for European-controlled alternative to the traditional U.S. hyperscalers. It signals a clear market shift. Specialized expertise, localized control, these are becoming key differentiators. It shows the European ecosystem is actively building out its own competitive landscape.
And finally, we're seeing telco sovereignty alliances cropping up too, which underlines that strong kind of multifaceted link between data protection, geopolitics, and those industry-specific sovereignty needs. It just seems clear that collaboration, strategic partnerships are absolutely key to navigating these incredibly complex waters.
Yeah.
Key to building truly effective, resilient, sovereign digital infrastructure.
So if we bring all these themes together, what does it all mean? The landscape of sovereign cloud is just incredibly dynamic right now. We're seeing robust, accelerating movements in policy and investment, infrastructure development, market strategy. It's a really clear signal that data sovereignty isn't just about ticking a compliance box anymore. It's rapidly becoming a strategic advantage, a cornerstone for economic resilience, and yeah, a critical piece of national security in this digital age.
That's a powerful summary. It really isn't just about keeping data local, is it? It's about control, trust, and basically future-proofing digital economies. Well, if you enjoyed this deep dive, remember new editions drop every 2 weeks. And do check out our other editions too. We cover cloud insights, sustainability and green ICT, digital products and services, health tech, defense tech, ICT and tech insights, and of course, artificial intelligence.
You know, this whole discussion raises a really important question for all of us as technology just keeps evolving at this pace. How will global innovation continue to intersect or maybe even conflict with national interests and this quest for digital self-determination? Definitely something to ponder as you continue your own journey in the tech world.
Absolutely. A great thought to end on. Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive into the fascinating world of sovereign cloud. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next exploration into the ever-evolving landscape of digital transformation.